praise and thanks. I would like to read the Word of God before we pray. John chapter 3. Here are some words of our Lord. I would like to read them before we pray. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Up to here, these wonderful words of God. I think it has been a privilege for a Nicodemus, who was a teacher in Israel, to be allowed to come to the Lord. And the Lord gave him very clear information about what to do. The Lord, whoever comes to him, he does not let him go away and not telling him what is necessary to say. He has told him all this, and he has especially put this on his heart, that all who believe have eternal life. That is the important thing about the whole thing. And even more, he said that the Son of Man will also be exalted. Yes. What grace has come to him to hear all these precious words. And he refers to Moses. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He pointed out and wanted to tell him that the time will come when people will be given the opportunity to look at the cross of Golgotha. This is something wonderful. Yes, he was lifted up, and he refers to Moses. Perhaps I would like to read the words. They are in Numbers 21 from verse 4. I would like to read them. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and we detest this worthless food. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass, that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass, that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. That was God in the Old Testament. We see, they murmured. Sin was not absent. The punishment was there. But then, we see the same God. He has mercy. And when the people came to Moses and said, "Pray to God for us. We have sinned against you and against the Lord." And do you know? God heard. Moses prayed. God heard it. Christ had not yet died, But the sign had already been given. And everyone who was bitten, when he looked, he was healed. Brothers and sisters, here in the New Covenant, the Lord gives the sign of the cross to a Nicodemus. He says, the Son of Man will be crucified like this. And everyone who looks there in our days will be healed at that very hour. A songwriter says, whoever sees Jesus on the cross in faith, will be healed at the same hour. Praise and thanks that we can always look at the cross. I said it already at the beginning. He went for us. There is still grace. We may still look up. We may still lay everything under the cross. There is still room. There is still space. We may still hurry to Him. May the Lord bless us tonight. If something burdens us, brothers and sisters, there is room. There we may lay it down, cast it off. And you know, when He forgives, it is forgiven. Praise and thanks be to His glorious name. Let us stand up now. Lord, we thank You for the grace, even tonight. We thank You, Lord, that we may look to the cross of Calvary. Glorious Golgotha. That's how we sang it, O God. Even today, Lord, salvation is here. Even today, we may come under the cross. The serpent has long since gone, which was erected. But the cross is still here today. What happened there on the cross is still valid today. Thanks be to You for it. Hallelujah. Praise and honor, glory and worship to Your wonderful name. We worship You and bring You the glory and praise Your wonderful name. For You alone are worthy to be honored, to be praised, and to be exalted. Hallelujah. For Your name is holy and You are wonderful. Hallelujah. Lord, continue to bless us. Bless Your people everywhere, in all places. Bless with us Your elect in all places, in all lands, O God, who suffer for Your name's sake, or who are sick, O God. May You help and touch all, Lord. For from You goes forth strength, the power of life. Hallelujah. Lord, we believe with all our heart, as the Scripture says, and we know You said those who believe have received eternal life. Hallelujah to Your wonderful name. We thank You, Lord, for eternal life which we have in You. Hallelujah. Praise and thanks, glory and worship be brought to You in this evening hour. Take away all disturbing things, Lord Jesus. May Your holy and good Spirit be at ease in our midst, O Lord. We welcome You, Lord. Take Your seat in our midst, Lord, and take dwelling in our hearts, that we may praise You, that we all might praise You, as from one mouth, Lord. Kindle Your fire, kindle our tongues, kindle our hearts to burn. Hallelujah. Glory, praise, and worship be to Your wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord for every word that has been read, for every thought that has been expressed. I have had to think that we have two things before our eyes. We have before us the work that took place on the cross of Calvary through the shedding of blood. And we have before us what we read in John 3, that the Spirit must work and beget something new. On the one hand, through the cross, the old debt is paid, but nothing is yet made new. The Spirit creates new life. And since the sermon now at the weekend, and perhaps even before, surely some, and I too, have been thinking very seriously whether God could create something new in the individual. I don't mean that the question of guilt still needs to be clarified. The question of guilt has been settled. It has been paid, settled on the cross of Calvary. But the question we were asked from Brother Branham's sermon over the weekend is this: where has God been able to work and anoint and bless not only in our spirits, but in the very depths of our souls, to create all things new, to reveal the nature of Jesus? After all, he clearly said that one can be baptized in the Spirit, anointed, have the greatest miracles and signs done, and still not even be saved. For us, something new, strange. But we have heard him say that man has certain three circles, and he consists of spirit, soul, and body, although we will have a different sequence now. But he spoke about that in the deepest inside of man, namely in the soul. And it says in the beginning, in the creation report, and so man became a living soul, not a living spirit, a living soul. So it is about the soul, about the real being of man. And when Brother Rus read here from Numbers 21, that the Israelites who ate the precious manna falling from heaven and then one day actually said, there is neither bread nor water here, and we are disgusted by this miserable bread. For us at the moment, inconceivable that a people of God who saw the glory of God at the foot of Mount Sinai, heard his voice and had been full of fear and trembling, and here being looked after by God in the most wonderful way, without having to worry, not even for the outside. Their shoes stayed new, their suit stayed new, their shirt stayed new, everything stayed new, 40 years. Not once did anyone need to say, where is the shoemaker? Or where is the tailor? God had provided for them like that, giving them manna every day. And all of a sudden, something entered into them that had not been there before. And they call this precious manna a miserable breadstuff from which they are disgusted. Where did this change suddenly come from? This turnaround, this attitude that was not there before, suddenly came over them. What had happened? And we are all really faced with a question. What happened? I am faced with a question. To what extent has God in my life? And I say again, the question of guilt has been settled by our Lord on the cross of Calvary. As surely as he was beaten and smitten and killed on the cross, so surely are we redeemed and freed from our guilt and sin. But now the second word, and this is the second step the renewal in the deepest part of our heart. And we know that what is actually in the soul that comes up when the Spirit comes over a person, and what has come up. Sometimes you get the impression that even now people would almost say, what is there all about these sermons or about the message or however? And it seems to be a similar situation. I didn't look for this word, it was read. But may we not, in spite of everything, look up to the Lord who was crucified, who crushed the serpent's head, not will be crushed first. And we know, in the Old Testament, we have also heard, God provided in His grace. How much more in the New Testament shouldn't we begin to value what God has really done, to enjoy the precious hidden manna so wholeheartedly, and not somehow murmur about it and say, this is nothing here now, and so on. It may not have been much at all that was said, but it was enough to arouse the wrath of God. And the serpents were there and bit. Actually, the enemy has no more right on us. Only if we allow it and somehow rebel inwardly, that he can then assert his rights anew. And then we can still look up to the cross and become well in spirit, soul, and body. For myself, it is really a matter of looking into the mirror of the Word to see if the nature of Jesus is really manifested or if everything else comes to light. For what the heart is full of, the mouth speaketh. And if the heart is filled with God, with the Spirit of God, and if something new has been created, then it must be manifested outwardly. You cannot say that you have been renewed and born again unless the Spirit of God can truly manifest the new life of Jesus. If not, then probably it's not there. And I mean, that's the question we all need to ask ourselves. What has God been able to do on us over the course of time? Outwardly, we have been blessed. Our spirit has been blessed in many gatherings. But has God been able to penetrate to the very depth of the soul to create something new, something divine, that not only lasts as long as the gatherings, but that lasts for eternity? That's the question we all have to ask ourselves. And I mean, God is giving us a time of reflection now, a time to come to Him, not to judge others. And I would like to ask from the bottom of my heart that we totally refrain from judging another. We are not even able to judge ourselves, let alone put ourselves in someone else's shoes. Let us let God's judgment come upon us, and then His jurisdiction and whatever comes with it. But here, in this word, it has been read, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus Christ was begotten by the Spirit. Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee, and that which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Most High. That's the birth. We have two things here that we are going to look at very briefly this evening. One is the reconciliation through the blood, the forgiveness of our guilt and our sin. But the other is the birth from God, the birth by the Spirit of God. And we are indeed to be begotten by the Spirit after the pattern of our Lord. For he is the firstborn among many brethren. After his pattern, we are to be begotten by the same Spirit of God, by the same word of truth and promise. Now we are at the point that we must all go into prayer, whether we like it or not. We are forced by God to go into prayer and say, Lord, we want a biblical new birth, a biblical filling with the Holy Spirit, so that the biblical results can really be manifested without any effort, as the Lord promised. I know that my effort will not be enough, and neither will yours. But I know that if we believe with all our hearts that God will be effective through His Word and through His Spirit to create in us that which will stand its ground before Him. He will not leave anything halfway. He will bring His church to completion. And what He does is done for eternity. Maybe God has given me and you and all of us the opportunity to find out what is still in us and what needs to come out, so that He can create something new in you and in me. That it is not only a blessing in the Spirit, but a divine begetting, a divine life in us, in the deepest part of our soul, that we can say from our heart, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not only the working of the Spirit from the outside, but the indwelling in the deepest part of our soul, of our heart, so that we can go forward in faith and be prepared for the day of the return of Jesus Christ, and that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm coming more and more to the conviction, as Brother Branham put it, that unless God Himself can press His seal upon us, and there we see the difference between an anointing that a person can experience and between a seal that God impresses on a person after he will have done or has done his work of grace in that person. When we come to God in prayer and tell Him everything, then He will really do it on you and on me, in you and in me. Then it is no longer your effort to manifest the nature of Jesus. Then it is the power of God in your life and in mine. Then the things that belong to the old man will have to fall away, and the new man, created after God's righteousness in true purity, will have to be revealed by the grace of our God, that we become one people, people on whom God has been able to work not only from without, but from within, through His Spirit. And therefore, also the word from the letter to the Corinthians, the two words fit together wonderfully. The cross was set up, but Paul said, I did not come with the wisdom of men to preach the cross to you, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. For where the victory and the work of the cross is proclaimed, the Spirit of God must be present to put this work that happened on Calvary into practice in each individual and to create something new, to end the old through the shed blood, reconciliation and forgiveness, and to create the new through the Spirit of God in each individual. You can understand that no one feels like preaching at this time, and especially tonight. We will certainly go into prayer and ask God from the bottom of our heart to create in us what He did in the brothers and sisters at the beginning, that He would no longer make a difference between us at the end and between those at the beginning, but could really create that through His Spirit. I don't mean to say that we'll be complacent one day. It will surely be when Paul still writes to the people of Ephesus, who were sealed with the Spirit, put off the old man. There will still be things that the Holy Spirit will put His finger or hand on that we need to put off, but that will then only affect the outer man. But the inner man will have to be renewed after the image of Jesus Christ by the grace of our God. And may the Lord truly accomplish it in me, in you, in all of us, by the power of His blood, His Word and His Spirit. And then, when He has done it, we will not need to add anything more to the matter. Then we become inwardly joyful and know that we have been joined together as one family, baptized into one body by one Spirit. And then comes to fulfillment what I have often said: if we are right in our hearts, we will understand everything rightly. And what we say, we will say to be a blessing to others. And then God will surely do what He has promised. May He blot out my and our infirmities, my and our transgressions, all that cannot stand before Him, by the power of His blood. And I tell you, He has crushed the head of the serpent. He was crucified and made a curse and sin for us, so that the curse and sin might be taken away from us, and that we might receive in Him complete cleansing and sanctification, and all that He has prepared for us by grace. And then no man can glory anymore. Whoever then still wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord, that He is gracious, that He is merciful, and that He is full of kindness, and that we may also count on Him tonight, on His mercy, on His forgiveness, on the power of His blood, on the power of His Word, and on the power of His Spirit. May He bless us by grace. Amen. Let us rise and pray. I want to praise You, O God. Lift up Your holy name and thank You for Your holy word, for Your precious word, O God, that You have given us again also tonight. Lord, I thank You also for every sermon that we have been privileged to hear in this place. O Lord, I thank You for every sermon by Brother Branham. O Lord, because it's the food for this time, it is the food for us for these days. Lord, my God, I thank You for it. I don't want to murmur about it, Lord. I don't want to be upset about it, O Lord. But I thank You for it, because it's Your food. Hallelujah. Glory and thanks be to You for sending Your servant, for revealing things to him in our day. Lord, I worship You for this. I praise Your name. Lord, great things You have done in my life and in the life of my family, O God, in the lives of many people, O God. I thank You for it, and I worship You. Hallelujah. Lord, my God, and where we have faults, Lord, we know that Your cross is raised up. There we can take refuge under Your cross, Lord. There is forgiveness for all of us. Hallelujah. Praise be to Your wonderful name, O God. Lord, how gracious You were, even in the old covenant. You have not destroyed them all, Lord. No, but You have given grace, Lord. Oh, how much more in this time, Lord, in which we live, O God. Lord, we know Your cross is foolishness to those who perish, but for us it is the power of God. Hallelujah. We worship You. Hallelujah. And we keep coming under the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise and honor, glory and worship to Your wonderful and glorious name. O Lord, what shall we say to You? We can bring You nothing more than our feeble thanks, Lord. But You know our hearts, O God. You know our thoughts, Lord. All is bare before You, Lord. All is manifest before You, Lord. You know we want to stand before You. When You will appear, Lord. Oh, You will appear soon, Lord. We know, Lord, You do not make empty words. No, Lord, we believe with all our heart. For we also see the signs of the times, Lord, and we see everything as Your word is fulfilled, Lord. Thanks be to You, O God, for this hour of grace, that we were allowed to be here again, that we were allowed to praise and glorify together, that we could again glorify Your name, that we could honor You. Hallelujah. For You are our God, You are our Redeemer, You are our Savior, You are our Deliverer. Hallelujah. To You alone belongs the honor. To You alone belongs the glory and the worship. Hallelujah. Lord, continue to give us all grace. Wherever we go, be with all of us. At our workplaces, Lord. Wherever we go, bless us, Lord. And make us still a blessing to others. Make us a witness to others, O God. Give us grace, O Lord, is my fervent desire and prayer. Be with Your people. Bless our homes. Bless our children, O God. Lord, save what can still be saved, is our fervent prayer and desire, in the precious name of Jesus. Bless also this weekend, Lord, all Your people, Your children, when they come together. Bless in Zurich, O God. Bless us here, O Lord. Lord, we are waiting for You. We know and stand here in faith that You will bless us. Praise and glory and thanks be to You. Hallelujah to Your name. Bless us when we depart, Lord. Bless us on our way home, O God. This is our desire and prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.